My name is Mark David DePelham. I'm a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science. I am a French-English bilingual. I'm a two-time candidate for Federal Member of Parliament, and I'm also someone who has been discriminated against for a criminal record. I guess the story starts in November of 2007. I was actually dropping a friend off at his house, and we pulled into his driveway, and there was this vehicle that had been following us, and my friend was a marijuana grower. This is something that I knew. And we arrived at his house and I pulled into his driveway and the vehicle pulled in behind us and three men got out and they were wearing plain clothes. And immediately we had police badges shoved in our face and I was put in handcuffs and arrested and charged with possession for the purpose of trafficking. And I was really shocked at the time. I was surprised because I was only in the driveway of this house and I didn't have anything in my possession at that point. But I now know that if you are on a premises when a search warrant is being served, you can be charged with whatever charge, let's say the owner of the home might be getting or the person who lives there. I did receive bail and I was charged with possession for the purpose of trafficking and cultivation of marijuana. I was nervous about these pending charges and if it would affect my employment at all or my ability to get a job. And at one point in applying for a job that did want to do a background check, I ended up getting the job, and they asked me to start work on a Wednesday morning. I showed up, I brought my lunch. My manager came over a short time later and inquired if I had the police background check that had been requested when he hired me. He said that his boss had told him that I shouldn't have actually been let in without first providing that. And at that point, he said he would really appreciate it if I could go up to the Brampton Peel Police Headquarters and get them to print off a copy of my background check that same day. So I drove up to the Peel Police Headquarters and got in line to do the background check. I paid the fee, and sure enough, when the printout came off, it not only showed the charges of possession for the purpose of trafficking and cultivation of marijuana, it also showed my next court date. So I was feeling pretty embarrassed at the time. I wasn't quite sure what to do. I was definitely, feeling nervous. I drove back to the workplace. I met my manager back at the office and advised him that I had the printout. And I gave it to him, and he read it and saw that I had been charged with these charges, that I was still going to court, and he saw the court dates. And at that point, he brought me into a boardroom in the office and said, basically asked me, "Mark, how could you do this to me?" I guess maybe that I hadn't disclosed that I did have these charges pending. And in response, I told him that, these are only charges that I feel that I'm wrongly charged and that I should be considered innocent until proven guilty. And he basically told me he would have to go clear it with his boss to see what he could do. So I sat in the boardroom while I waited for this manager, and he eventually came back and said that due to the pending charges, it was not going to work out and that I would have to leave immediately, to which I responded that I felt it was discrimination. And he, fairly bluntly told me that he didn't care what it was, that, I should go. So they sent me away. I didn't even get my lunch out of the fridge after leaving it there. And I was really upset. So I went home and I got on the internet and I looked up the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal and the Ontario Human Rights Code. I knew that somebody had wronged me, but I didn't know anything about the law at that point. So I looked up the Ontario Human Rights Code and I found that there was protection in employment for somebody with a record of offenses. Now, because I had never been convicted, I didn't feel that I had a criminal record. And I guess I just assumed that record of offenses must have been the catch-all that would apply to somebody who's been charged or somebody who's been convicted. So at that point, I got a Human Rights Tribunal application. I filled it out and applied to the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario for protection in employment on the grounds of a record of offenses. And I went through a pretty down period then. I really needed employment. So not only was I fairly broke, but now I've been discriminated against for something that I can't change because these charges are still pending. And now I'm even more nervous about getting another job. It was about 3 weeks later when I landed another job. It was also bilingual customer service. Part of my employment package in getting this job was a release that they wanted me to sign consenting to do a background check. And on the release form, it stated that pending charges might be some of the information that that background check would bring up. And I really was nervous about it. I didn't know how to cope with it. And I asked my father at one point, I said, "Dad, you know, this next company now wants to do a background check, and I don't want a repeat of what happened before. What do you think I should do?" And he actually suggested, you know, be proactive about it. Maybe the original employer that discriminated against you was surprised about this information. He said, if you let them know beforehand, maybe they'll be a little bit more understanding. And I had noticed the manager was very thorough about his paperwork. So with a yellow highlighter, I highlighted pending charges on the release form. I signed everything, submitted it to him, and he came and met with me later that day, and he had some questions for me as to why I had highlighted pending charges. So I explained to him what had happened with my track, which had been the original employer where I experienced discrimination. And I also explained to him that I had filed a human rights complaint in that case because I felt the discrimination had been unlawful. And he said, you know, he kind of accepted that, and they let us out of work early that afternoon, I recall. So I went home, came back for work the next morning on my second day of work. At about 10 in the morning, the managers came and knocked on the door to the training room where I was training with the rest of the group. And they asked me, you know, "Mark, can you please come with us?" And there was the two managers that had hired me, as well as their boss, who was the manager of the whole department and a human resources consultant. And they had some questions for me about the pending charges. Looking back on it now, what they did was totally inappropriate. However, at that point, I was nervous. I had already experienced discrimination. I wanted to keep my job. I dearly wanted to keep this job that I had just gotten. And I decided to be forthright with them. But it was a horrible experience. Between these managers and the human resources consultant, they grilled me about the charges, about the fact that I was representing myself in court. They at times seemed critical of the answers that I was giving, saying that it sounded like I didn't know what I was talking about, or it didn't sound as though I was being forthright, that it sounded as though I was scattered and inconsistent, and that was something that they later put in their response to my human rights application. Prior to the meeting ending with these individuals, they said, "You know, this is your boss," referring to the manager of the customer service department. "Tell him why you deserve to keep your job." And I responded that they had hired me based on my qualifications, and those had not changed. And I guess this was the wrong answer. They sequestered me to the lunchroom while they made their decision. The two managers that had hired me later returned, notified me that I would be dismissed, effective immediately. And at that point, honestly, I felt like crying. It was, to have this happen again was just a horrible experience. So I left there, and I was frustrated. I was angry. I was hurt. So at that point, I went home. I filed another human rights application with the Human Rights Tribunal, requesting protection from discrimination in employment due to a record of offenses. This would have been August of 2008. Shortly after that, I got a letter from the lawyer for the first company. She requested that my applications be dismissed because a record of offenses is defined as a conviction for which a pardon has been granted and not revoked. And I had just been so angry and frustrated and hurt at the way I was treated that I hadn't actually looked up the definition of record of offenses in the Human Rights Code. When I did look up the definition of record of offenses, sure enough, it said you had to be convicted, which at first I responded to this by saying, "That's absurd. The Charter of Rights and Freedoms in this country considers me innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Yet in human rights protection, I would actually have less protection than somebody who had been convicted of a crime and subsequently pardoned." Eventually, my human rights applications were dismissed on the grounds that I had been charged with a crime but never convicted. and therefore I would not be protected under the code. And by the time they gave me the decision, in February 2009, the charges had long been withdrawn. I was never found guilty of anything. I mean, I was never even acquitted because it never went to trial. It was found that there was no reasonable cause for conviction. Ultimately, none of the marijuana was mine. And I was, I guess, ultimately, I'm innocent of this accusation. Yet in that ensuing period, the tribunal had found I would not get any protection. I think it's fairly obvious that this was legislated in error. And I think it's fairly obvious that it's an absurd situation. So it still angers me to this day that there has not been the political will or courage on somebody who is in power to speak out against this and try and amend this legislation that is harming so many people. So it really disturbs me years later because I've really started studying this issue a lot. I'm somebody who's been precariously employed for most of the last several years, and I wind up doing a lot of job applications. I wind up seeking employment, and the number of times I run into corporations or organizations that are doing background checks when there does not seem to be a bona fide occupational requirement leads me to believe that there are thousands of people out there who may have a criminal record, who may have a past conviction record, who have experienced discrimination in employment, who are now marginalized, who cannot find employment, who have stopped looking for employment. And if you are someone who has a criminal record, and maybe you come from a criminal background, and you can't find employment, I think it's fairly obvious that the next thing that you're going to do to either put food on the table for your family or feed yourself is to commit crime. And it'll bring you back to the mentality that crime pays. Because if nobody else is going to hire you, you're going to be angry at society, and you're not going to care. You just go out and commit crime again. It makes society less safe for us all.